radiance by design, and you are radiating all over the place these days, and so am I, and so is change. We keep hearing about the shift, don't we? Shift this, shift that, and I'm like, what if you are, let me see, we'll pick somebody. What if you're the kind of person that thinks that you want to leave your job, you want to jump to the next job? What if you're the kind of person that likes your job, but your job is going away because systems are breaking down? What if you're the kind of person that is going between one way of being and another and then feels like they're on their little life raft? The whole flat earth society is taking place and there's nowhere for the life raft to land. What on earth is going on out here? And I sure hope that tonight, my name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. And I love it when you call in about what's going on in your life. And I'm hoping that tonight a whole bunch of you are going to call in telling us about your life and your questions. And we're going to work some meditations and some energy focuses to help us. For example, if you're one of the ones in the life raft thinking that you're going to land at the land, but the land is disappearing because of the big changes going on and the systems are not as secure as they used to be, what is it we do? One of the things that we talked about last week was surrender, surrender, and more surrender. The idea about surrender is you and I came with a life journey. And in your life path, you have some special gifts and you have some special themes. And those themes and those gifts are sometimes ignited by a lack of, what would we say, willful direction. You've lost your will. You don't know what to do. It's a perfect time to surrender because your soul's journey, the pulse of it, wants to flow and carry you into whatever it is that your soul journey is really desiring. Maybe it's all about love. Maybe it's all about healing. Maybe it's all about self-awareness. Maybe it's all about evolution. Maybe it's about the shift. Maybe it's about joy and laughter and having fun and helping other people. Maybe it's about entertaining or writing. But I promise you this, if you get into a state of surrender on a regular basis, you will find that things come to you, people come to you, reflections back to you come much more easily. If you're hanging on to a sinking ship, it's a little like, I often think of it as like floating on our back downstream. And when you grab for every twig, branch, reed, whatever, it's on the side of the stream. What happens is you tumble around, you get water up your nose, you fall over, you all of those things. But if you can just absolutely surrender to the deepening flow of that stream, you will be taken. You'll be carried somewhere, won't you? Now, when you're a human being, being carried doesn't quite look as buoyant as all that. The thing that buoys us up are connections to other people, opportunities that show up, a really sometimes surprising rise of insight coming up through a person, and suddenly you go, yeah, I am writing a book. Yeah, I am going to start a project for seniors, blah, blah, blah. I am going to invent this or that. I am going to settle into my home and family and really make my family more stable instead of putting them on that corporate spin ball thing. You know what I mean? You just don't know what's going to come up in you. So let's talk about that tonight. Let's talk about surrendering. And let's talk with you about the various things that you're going through. What is it going to take for you to let go and surrender and allow some of the changes to be brought to you? It requires trust, and we hear that right now in America, one of the biggest deficits that isn't financial is trust, trust in authority, trust in the higher beings that are running the system, trust in the media for revealing to us the deception. Woo! It's really hard to just trust, and yet that's what we're asking you to do. I had something else, though. Deb O'Connor is coming in. We're talking a lot about the eclipses lately, and there's another eclipse tomorrow. And in the eclipses, what comes up, and we've had three, that will make three in a row. Tomorrow's will make three in a row over a short period of time. And what comes up in the eclipses are awarenesses of how you've deceived yourself or how you have eclipsed these aspects of your own personal journey that want to express themselves in this life. So it'll be really fun to talk to Deb and find out how she expresses the energies, the way the up-and-coming eclipse is going to have an impact on you and on me. All right. Take a couple of deep breaths and let's do our meditation together. And in the meditation, one of the things I want to say before we go into it, another thing we're mentioning fairly frequently lately is one of the ways of surrendering is to actually release your attachment to your identity the way it's been. So many people have lost homes and even towns these days. There's a lot of things that go on. But that doesn't mean that you're not a really powerful, powerful being with the ability to unlimit yourself. But one of the things we have to do is let ourselves free ourselves from what we call our identity. It's that attachment to our identity. This is who I am, and this is how I am known in the world. And, you know, it might be I'm a scholar, a corporate leader, a teacher, a banker, postal worker, it doesn't matter, but the way you take pride in your own identity is hugely limiting in time. And from my understanding of what my guides and angels say, it is very wise on a regular basis to take a look at your identity, to describe yourself the way you've described yourself to the community, and release your attachment to all of that. Allow the flow to come up through you so that what's really powerful in your soul journey, and what is also, shifting, because we're in the shift, right? What wants to be the great shift in your cellular inner community, it can't rise if you're super attached to the fact that you're a mother, bed and breakfast owner, and you live in a certain socioeconomic bracket, and so on and so forth. Sometimes we have to release all of that and let ourselves become even more creative. So let's go into our sacred geometric meditation, and in there, where we do, we do a series of screens when we get into the sacred geometric form. And in those screens, the first one is, what is it you really want to become? And that might change. It might be different than it was 2 weeks ago, and so on. The second screen is something that you're creating, a project that you really desire to do. Once again, when you really want to do a project, it's very good to develop it in your mind's eye and then absolutely surrender it to the higher. See what I mean? Because things will actually morph and change. And the third one is when we bring in the Galactic Healing Center and we bring in the healing team and we surround our table with the healing team, and we work on first ourselves and then a number of beings that we want to have impact on. And I know from doing this in a meditation group that I meet with regularly, it really does have a huge impact on the people we bring into our healing center. So let's do some of that, and then we're going to take your calls, and then we're going to hear from Deb O'Connor about eclipses. What is it you're eclipsing in yourself? So when you're in the healing center, you might want to look at your identity and what you're going to release about that in order to come to the new level of self-expression, which I believe is what life is all about. We don't get out of this alive. Not your first round of being here. And I wonder what you've come to express. Let's see what we can learn together. Close your eyes. And let's call in a golden light about 2 miles above your head and 140 feet below your spine. And drop a golden filament of light from the upper golden ball through the spine into the lower golden ball. And now drop a four-sided gold pyramid from the upper ball to about waist height, maybe 20 or 30 feet out. And then upside down, meeting the lower golden ball, another pyramid, another four-sided pyramid. It meets our upright one, point to point. So that now you're inside of a double pyramid, a double tetrahedron, also known as an octahedron. And inside of that, create a crystal ball. And inside of that, the see yourself in a three-dimensional Star of David, a star tetrahedron. And I would like you to spin and spin and spin in your star tetrahedron, spin and spin and spin. And as you're spinning, look at the first screen. And in that screen, you want to see a little movie of yourself becoming what it is you truly, truly want to become in this lifetime. What is it? You want to become rich and famous. You want to become free. You want to become tall. You want to become, I always want to become multidimensional, consciously multidimensional, so I can pop around willy-nilly and take a look at the whole entire universe. Universes, how about that, of my illusion. And I want to feel the love, 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 because I believe that's all we take with us, is our capacity to love. Now, when you see yourself absolutely achieving that that you want to achieve, just smile and enjoy it. And let's wrap that in light, move your attention to the second screen, which is you creating a project that you really care about. It could be home and family, it could be having a child, it could be doing a business, a building, an artwork, a movie, a book, it doesn't matter. See all the pieces coming together. And then when you feel like you've achieved this project, you've really achieved whatever it was you wanted to achieve, see yourself smiling. And the resonance is so graceful and grateful, and you just see the flows of all that engenders it, all that supports it for the rest of its ongoing life. You just know that the resonance is so strong, and then all the pieces are supported, so it could go on and on. What a beautiful image. Wrap it in light. And now open your galactic healing center. And in that healing center, remember, you have your own, we all have our own healing team. Who's in your team? They stand around this beautiful healing table. Take a look around, see who they are, or feel who they are. And now you lie on the table. You're the first one to go in for healing. And now either you can ask them for what it is you want, or they'll tell you what it is you need. So lay on the table. Good. And sometimes you want to jot a little note down. Sometimes they'll tell you something you need to work on. And when you really feel like you're getting a kind of a vibrational shift, talk about the shift, then wrap that in light and move that whole scenario with you on it and your team over to the side. And know the team can replicate themselves infinitely, so you know that you can stay over there and still be healed while we move to the next one, which is you bringing on someone on the fresh healing table, somebody who needs some help. Somebody you know needs help. Now, in this case, I'm feeling the presence and seeing the presence of an older man who's in his 90s. And he's in excruciating pain in his back. I'm asking the team, the healing team, to work with him. And very often when somebody's in pain, they show me the same thing. Here they're pulling out of his head and his feet very long strings of vibrational impact or information. And nothing's impossible. And it seems like our gentleman is feeling better already. You know, it's funny because he seems to need to cry is your team saying about your person that you've brought in? And when you feel like there's some energy moving and it's coming along, okay, move that whole scenario over to the right and create a new table where the team replicates themselves again and bring in someone else. And this is a young woman who really needs to surrender but is extremely willful, very beautiful, and is all clogged up with a lot of karmic stuff and physical pain and financial problems. And the team is standing around and wanting to help her. And again, they're pulling things out of her brain. Mm-hmm. Quite often your team is going to tell you things that can help this person move on her way. Pay attention, I'll tell you things. And you know, very often, like in the case of this young woman, they're saying things like, a person must begin to lean on her own higher consciousness, because when we lean on the people around us who are also, talk about radiance by design, who are also radiant of the same kind of neuroses as we have, then we just stay in the pool. And this young one knows some of that, but she doesn't want to launch. It's like a boat that wants to hang on to the side of the wall, you know, a boat that's on a canal or something, and it wants to hang on, be tethered to the wharf or the side of the canal, and it won't let go. She has some of that because this is one who could rise. And they're showing that a lot of the body pain and some of the restrictions in her health come from an attitude of wanting to keep herself safe. But like you and I know, it's not safety to compress ourselves or constrict ourselves. And that's something we're learning on these shows these days and learning about the shift, is that humanity has the ability to move past limitations an incredible amount. It's just somehow we have to have the courage to trust that when we let go of certain clutching and certain limitations, the expansion is potentially unlimited. So what happened with your person? I'm going to wrap this one in light and consider what they're telling us. Then we bring in a new table and wrap it in light and wrap it with our guides. And let's put in, I've been putting in whole countries, places of disaster, governments, and so on. So let's bring in one more time the global economic situation. And you know that it's based on greed, and that has can get more, and they're getting clever and clever about dissociating the money from the masses of people. So I want to see that. That's a global thing. It's not just American, although America's pretty hot with it, isn't it? It's a huge financial global network, and I want to put it on there and awaken it and just plunge big blobs of pink light, light of harmony and of sharing. Because there's enough money for all of us. There's enough food. There's enough money. There's enough consciousness that we could actually change the toxicity in the oceans and in the air. We could do that. It would just take the incentive of a great conscious number of beings to collect their thoughts and do that together. We know that. So I'm sending light. I'm wrapping it in light, sitting it on this table, and asking the healing team, with all the layers and layers of consciousness resonance that they're associated with out of the universe, to pump this consciousness, this awakening, this love, this loyalty to unfoldment through themselves and into all the beings that are in positions of power. And you know something, as I say that, I go, Well, all of us are in positions of power. We just need to resonate with the empowerment. Let's just feel it and see it moving through us all so that we're fully capable of standing to the higher level of integrity. And so the financial services moves from an old patriarchic model into a really nurturing win-win. We'll call it the feminine, the divine feminine model. And that the sharing begins to be just a natural and beautiful situation. So let's bring in some of that wonderful, radiant, harmonious light and bring in this kind of an apricot color from my perspective, although I see a lot of purple in it, the good old spiritual light, and just infuse the entire monetary global system and all the beings that are jockeying it around with peace and with harmony. Let's just wrap that in light and move it to the side. And bring in President Obama. And once again, let's bring in that light of harmony, that beautiful salmon-colored light, the radiant light. Have it come down in through the top of your head, through your heart, and out your hand. And let's radiate it to President Obama, that he be not only awake and awakening, but that he begin to loosen those ties. He find ways to feel supported, to surrender himself and his higher will, and his, not his ego, but his higher self, to a much more magnanimous approach on the planet. This is very idealistic, but I believe in that. I believe consciousness can change when you change the reality. So let's just radiate into Obama's belly, his subconscious, his whole beingness, and his brain, and his family, and his government, and that those sparks of transformation hit the lobbyists, and that it's a win-win for all, that he can help install greater services like education, support for the aged, support for women, support for children, quality of life for everyone in America, as well as out on the planet. That we put the heart back into our huge country and our community. It's possible, and if we all see it, life can become sustainable all over the world. So we wrap it in light and gratitude, wrap it all in light and gratitude, and flood our planet with this light, this salmon-colored light. And make it go round and round and round the planet, have it come back up through your arms, into your heart, up through the top of your head, out into the great central sun. Felt good. Now let's close off the Galactic Healing Center and turn and jump in our star tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin, knowing that we've got some wonderful healing activities going on out there. And come on into this room with me before Deb calls in. I hope one of you will call in, or maybe Deb will call in soon. I do have a question from a wonderful woman named Emily. And I'll give you the numbers first. It's 888-815-9756. 888-815-9756. Please do call in. I love talking to you, and I want to know what's going on. Things are really ramping up out there with the shift. Now, Emily, who's a really wonderful person, she's a songwriter, she's a young woman, she's talented in so many different ways. She sings, she writes her own music, she studies, she's learning a lot about metaphysics and spirituality, and is becoming rapidly extremely conscious. But what she wanted to know was about souls. Do animals have souls? My understanding is, yes, they do. My comprehension of it all, of course, is human. But according to my guides and angels, animals do have souls, but they're on a slightly different track than we are. And yet, as I say that, I'm aware that there are beings who talk about how they've been incarnated as panthers and as tigers and so on. I don't know. I just feel like we're probably not quite on the same soul track. Nor do I think that we are with angels, but I do believe that we all have souls. And she asked also, do trees have souls and plants? And the answer I got from her text message was, I believe that they have this divine etheric light, but I don't know if we could call it a soul track. I think it's a little different for them, but I'm going to sit with that and really make up my mind. What do you think about it? My guides and angels say that they have an ongoing existence, and they have a terrific amount of consciousness, but they don't have a soul journey the way you do and the way I do. So that's that. Now, I wonder, Deb, are you on the phone? All right, there are several people. This is Veronica Entwistle, by the way. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor. When you call in, what we like to do is talk about what your soul journey is all about, what you're struggling with, or what are you triumphing with, and how are you doing with relationships in this time of shift? How are you doing with finances during this time of shift? A lot of people are finding that they're having to readjust the way they projected that their finances would be going and where their security would be over the next little while. Are you going through any of that? What's going on with you? There are many people as well who are finding that what's coming up in them is rather disturbing awarenesses of ways they've been before and how they believed in the way they'd been before. And all of a sudden they're looking at themselves going, what was I thinking? It's as if there's ancient belief structures moving up through us, bouncing into our awareness, and then wanting to shuffle on down to Buffalo so that we can become much more enlightened. It sounds like when I describe it that way, it sounds to me like enlightenment is really pulling out of the weighty stuff and finding release from it so that now we're much lighter. What do you think about it? I'm seeing a couple of people. I'm seeing a lot of people these days who are talking about, for example, money and jobs, and various numbers of pretty extreme things. And it seems like when we're looking for a job and the time is like it is right now, when we're looking for work, we have to be really in belief that the work is there. See what I mean? Because when people are out there looking for work and they really believe that there is no work and the systems have broken down and the jobs don't exist, they don't get jobs. I'm telling you, they phone me and it's like they're from another planet. There are other people who are looking for work and wanting to change jobs, and they're operating as if it's the good old days. And they're absolutely amazed about being able to get really good jobs and getting benefits and blah, blah, blah. I'm going, you know, it just seems the only common denominator is people who really feel that they're actually able to do that. People without doubt, people who feel deep down inside that they're entitled to it or that they're worth it or that they're very, very capable or the world needs them or they want to give service or something. But those are the preoccupations rather than the timidity and the fear. Recently on Paradigm Shifters, I had a wonderful interview with Penny Pierce. She's just delightful. And, I interview some really terrific people, so I'm just always excited to refer to the way they express things. But she agreed on how we create our reality. But her thing was, she did not agree at all with the law of attraction. She suggests that it's basically moving your consciousness up and out of your body and into the higher.
I have been unable to reach Deb.
Okay. I'm sure she'll call in when she needs to. Thank you. Apparently Deb is a bit late calling in, but I'm hoping she will because I really love it when she does. And if she doesn't, please call in and tell me about the planets, you guys. Anyway, back to Penny Pierce. When she's talking about creating your reality, which she agrees with, she's saying, let's call it materializing. And you move up and out of your, this stuff I really love, and you can play with me on this right now. You move up and out of your consciousness, way into your higher self, and out there where time and space are fluid, where reality is very fluid, you start creating, sort of like we do in the structures, create the image and the vision of what it is you want to be doing. But what I gathered from her is you also listen for the promptings from and the wisdom from guidance, right? From your higher self. So you move up and out, and when you're really in that amazingly magic altered state, she called it the imaginal realm, you're in there and you can really feel it, then you download it into your body. You start being that. You start living it. You start breathing it. You start being it. And when it gets to the amygdalas, I think how she put it, what happens to the amygdalas, the really deep, almost primitive part of your brain, although she said when you get into the reptilian part of your brain with it, then it can't help but materialize in your reality. It's pretty interesting. It's a nice way to do it. And she said it's materializing things. It's not just the law of attraction. It's really more of creation. So what do you think about that? Call in, please, with your feedback on how you're creating your reality these days. But what I want to say is my understanding also is that, well, I guess I'm saying the same thing twice, which is you want to create your reality, and we all want to know how to do it. The major thing that is required is releasing the kinds of beliefs that we've had. So there's always a huge amount of releasing going on. Now, at this time of the eclipses, and we're in the middle of three eclipses, the releasing is kind of brought up for us. Like, what are you doing? Are you experiencing, say, family of origin stuff where you're being shown what you've been like or how you're branded as a kid, or were you like non-productive? Are you somebody who never was a success? Are you unruly? Are you inhibited? Are you this or that? Whatever the old stuff was that came up, are you finding that more and more of that is rising in your awareness and you're getting kind of blindsided by it? And if that's so, it seems to me that what you want to be doing is bringing it up. My guides always say, call it up, exaggerate it, notice where it is in your body, and then command total release. Because basically, when you do that, you're essentially surrendering, or you're surrendering a part of yourself. What I mean is that's probably the greatest tool for bringing you toward, surrender is a huge tool, but one of the greatest tools for bringing you toward your success and toward to actually creating your reality is releasing that which blocks it. And my guide say 95% of the job is that. And then, so what you do is that's partially surrender. It's like handing over some of the stuff that you find is floating up in you. And during these times of the eclipses, it's really intense for some people. I'm hoping you'll call in and tell us about what's going on in your intense releasing stuff. And then from there, you let come up from your soul's journey what it is you really are being guided to do. Instead of just, I want this and I want that. You get all the I want if you want to. But when you're dropping off some old limitations, and then letting yourself move into kind of a new expression of self, that's a really good time to allow, I guess how we do it is we allow it to come up, and like Penny Pierce says, as you feel it in your imaginal mind and your imaginal cells, and then you bring it down into your body. But to me, there's a real surrender in that. It's like giving up your will long enough for it to flow through. That's what I think the surrender is. So let's do a little surrender exercise. I've done this tons of times before. I like to do really simple things that are really repeatable, because if they are, then you can do them like that and you don't have to sit around and figure out what all the steps are. You just got to like drop into surrender. So I always say, imagine yourself going into a garden. I love to go into a garden, and for me, it changes all the time. Sometimes it's a lot of marble, and there's little fountains and stuff, and huge plants and beautiful things. Sometimes, I mean, it just changes all the time. So go into your garden, and maybe there's an altar at the end or a big pedestal or something, and you go to that pedestal where there's the divinity is on the pedestal. And who is it? It doesn't matter. Fall on your face at the feet of the divine, and you lie there, and lie there until you've absolutely surrendered. You can say, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender, I surrender. Very often when I do that, I've told you before, I feel like I'm kind of either beating my fist on the ground or I'm going, okay, am I done yet? Am I surrendered yet? And what you want to do is lie in that visualization. And you'll know what I mean until you absolutely feel that you've given up and that you've absolutely surrendered. And I promise you this, when you do that, many things change around you. You begin to attract, and this is maybe the law of attraction coming from a different angle, you begin to attract different people, different opportunities. You're getting out of your own way. Sometimes when I do it, I'm really amazed because somebody beautiful, some being will come and pick me up. Other times I just imagine myself standing up when I realize that I am absolutely in total surrender. That means even my thoughts and feelings. So let's just take a look at some of the others of you that are out there. Come on, call in. I know you want to call, so stop that. So I'm seeing a bunch of you out there. There's a couple of people that are really older right now, and all of this saber rattling about getting rid of support for seniors, that's really horrendous, isn't it? There are a couple of people that I can see right now who are listening, and they look kind of panic-stricken and freaked out. And a couple of them have been really amazing producers and given very much in their lives. But they've done some big losses. I see that you've done some huge losses in investment and some huge loss. And it's all been through mortgage swindling and all that. You've done some tremendous losses in this lifetime. And now there's this kind of jittery feeling of having faith and having trust, and yet wondering where on earth the support is coming from. And I really feel, especially for one of you, let's see, I'm seeing three right now. Okay, there's something about this is happening for all of you, okay? But it's very different from different, you're all in different towns. It's very different for you all in a certain way, but one of the things that's in common is that there are people coming together in community consciousness, and you're going to be scooped up, and you're probably going to be a noble, especially two out of the three that I'm seeing are probably going to be noble, mentors, senior mentors for these groups that are coming up. And there's more of it. As soon as I say that, the guides show me there's kind of a ripple of this going on all over the country, where there actually community consciousness is growing, rising in order to help and support one another. And I feel like it's going to be probably an improvement, or it's, on another level, we say it's representative of the evolution of our country, of our citizenship right now. Because we've warehoused different people and segregated a lot of different people from the cream of our country, haven't we? Well, there's kind of a community, rising community consciousness around this. So there's a couple of you that I see are going to be not only protected and supported, but you're going to lead and help others create a kind of a gathering or group. Two of you are very powerful, creative, energy-working leader kinds of people. And golly gee, are you ever needed right now? The whole country needs it, as you know that. You're on the air, and it's perfect timing.
Really? Thanks.
Hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call, Veronica. My name's Trish.
Hi, Trish. I'm glad you called.
Hi. Yeah, it's the first time I've ever called into radio.
Really? So, well, welcome.
I said a lot of things that really connected with me, so I thought, I have got a caller.
That's wonderful. Where are you calling from?
Glendale, California. Which is near Los Angeles. Do you know it?
Sorry, I just choked.
Oh, my gosh.
It has nothing to do with Glendale. I just zigged when I should have zagged.
I've had that experience myself.
Well, this isn't just radio for America. It's global radio. So here I am coughing away. Anyway, what can we do with you? You're a wonderful light. You've got a great sense of humor, and you've got a nice spark.
Thank you. Thanks. Yeah, I'm loving life. I am. And I'm, for the most part, really starting to open my eyes up to a lot of stuff when you talked about undoing. I keep saying, just undo it. All the stuff that we get trained to believe, our belief system, and then realize, my goodness, there are many other ways to choose to look at things. So it's been
quite a great ride
recently.
Oh, really? You know? Tell us a bit about it.
Yeah, I'm jittery. I think that's what triggered it for me. It's something about being jittery. And lately, I feel my nerves are very much on end. Like, I feel like I have the jitters, like I've had a pot of coffee. And I've actually stopped drinking coffee because of it. Mm. And I can't help but think that it's because of all the experiences I've had in the last few years, slowly but surely becoming aware of my life and of just the extraordinary things that have changed for me. I'm wondering if that's part of the process. I don't know.
Well, I think there's two things. First of all, do you like your job? I want to say this, that the downloads, the universal downloads of energy right now are crazy, and all of a sudden I'll be just shaking like a leaf or just moves through me like I've had a lot of coffee, and I hardly drink coffee at all now. And it's other people I'm talking to are like that. You can barely sit still, or people aren't sleeping as well. A lot of people I know are not sleeping as well. Are you experiencing that? And I think it's because you've probably heard this, Trish, is that the vibrational existence on the planet is speeding up. It's on a huge exponential curve, so it's moving like 20 times as fast as it was last year, even.
I did not know that. Wow.
And as
I knew something was changing. I could feel the consciousness changing, but I didn't realize it was spinning faster, which makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and on, as a vibrational vehicle of light, which is what we are, we download from out there into our physical second or third. And as a vibrational being, we're all being taken by some huge frequency changes without very much education and reference to it. So how are you doing with your job? Because you look like you're going to change the way you're thinking about work and everything.
Oh, well, I've had quite an extraordinary few years, and I ended up producing three feature films in 1 year, and I'm working on a documentary right now, all while I left my husband, like went through a divorce, that kind of thing. So I've been going through some major changes in, just since, I guess, 2008.
Oh, good.
Or 2007. So job-wise, I don't know what my job is. It's very interesting. I mean, what I have to do is allow myself to be a filmmaker. I keep, dotting around that, thinking I study to be an actor. You know, I have an MFA in acting, that kind of thing. But I'm also thinking maybe I'm a healer because all this great stuff that's happening, as far as awakening myself to a different world.
I'm sure you're a healer. I am sure you're a healer. But what is a healer?
Yeah.
Hey, listen. You know what? Vicarious living. When people live in the movies, when people go to the movies, they live, right? They live the scenario, right? And there's nothing. And there's, we talked about vibration. I remember the first time I was really consciously struck with this was when I walked in front of the TV when the little Buddha was running, I think for the second or third time. And I could feel these energies moving up through my body. And I went, it's true. People can be healed. People can be transformed through media and through movies and so on. You are amazing. And you're actually going to be a lot more amazing. But 2 years from now, I think you're really going to be going lickety-split.
Really cool. Yeah, yeah, I definitely feel very... unsure. It's happening very quickly, and yet I'm being challenged constantly. There's a lot of stress involved. But at the same time, I keep saying, this is to get prepare me for the big stuff. I have to be able to handle the little stuff. You know, I'm doing small budget films right now. I keep thinking, this is for the, you know, when it gets bigger, I can handle the pressure. Mm-hmm. So I keep looking at it like that. I don't know if that makes sense as far as healing goes. But what happens is I study it so much. I'm pretty much addicted to A Course in Miracles. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Yes, sir.
Book. Or, yeah. And so my work is constantly practicing reading that book and doing the workbook and practicing those things. And by the way, I tend to be very sporadic when I speak, so I apologize. I hope I'm clear with what I'm saying.
You are.
I can go off.
I just want to say what's really fun about you is you're going to pick up speed. Remember, everything is going faster and faster, right? And you're going to be handling more than you think. I mean, you'll look back at your day and go, crap, did I do all that? I can't believe I can do that much. And then it amps up more. And you're just going to be flying in a while. You're going to participate with a small group of people in a rather big project in a wee while. And you're going to love it. Everybody's really full of positive, I guess I'd call it ambition, but it looks more like I want to say light. There's a lot of this going to go on in Hollywood area. You know that?
A lot of what?
There's a lot of this kind of healing, visual stuff going to go on out of Hollywood very soon. I mean, there's some already, but it's going to get really big.
Oh, that's great news, because that's pretty much what, about 3 years ago, I decided my calling was to change the world one film at a time. I just decided it with laughter. Like, I feel like laughter is the key. And I really felt very strongly about my calling, but then things started to happen. I was wondering, wow, maybe, you know, it's maybe, the, you know, the mission can change, but I'm just thinking, you know, maybe I'm wrong, because I see what's out there, and I'm like, wow, I can't believe we're still watching horror flicks. And not that there's anything wrong with it, per se, except that I really want, I want everybody to be happy. You know?
Well, you know, it's really interesting, because when people feel empowered about creating their life, they're a lot happier. You know what I mean? It's not just...
Amen.
And you're going to be...
That's a good point. And I think that's part of what I've been missing the last couple, you know, I guess last few months. I don't feel as empowered. I feel a little more confused than empowered, but I'm beginning to believe, and especially because something you said about allowing those emotions to come up from the, I think it was something like that from the past, like, I'm really sorry, there's something you said earlier that triggered something in me, and I thought, oh my gosh, that's what I'm doing, I want the world to be happy, I want to be happy, but there are times when you just got to feel the sadness, and you got to let it come up and express itself so you can release it, that's what you were saying, so that you can release it and let it go, and I thought that was brilliant, surrendering.
And actually, the irony is that release of that sadness can make you happy. But without releasing the sadness, you can't feel as happy. It's really kind of interesting, isn't it? It's a nice paradox. But,
it really is, and I have to tell you that this doesn't happen as much as it did, but about a year ago, and I actually went to a doctor for it, I would feel these emotions come up, and I couldn't control them. I would try to hold on to them, and finally they'd come screaming out, and I thought I was losing my mind. And then I just realized, you know, those were the emotions that were just coming out of my body. Finally, they found their way out of there. And
well, let me just tell you,
themselves.
Let me tease you a little bit and say, it is that you're losing your mind, because that was a part of your mind and you don't want it to be stuck there anymore, you know.
That's awesome. That is so great.
Well,
you better embrace that.
You better, yeah. And it's really wonderful to have you join our community. And I'll let you go so in case somebody else calls. But thanks, Trish.
Absolutely. Thank you. It was a joy talking with you. Thank you so much, Veronica. I really appreciate it.
And you too. And you keep us posted, will you, huh?
I will. I promise. I will. Thanks for everything.
All right.
Take care. Bye.
It's really exciting because, like Trish, so many people are being hit with a wave of change, which is very, very, I think there's a combination of being vulnerable. Oh, goody, I'll just say this one thing. Being extremely vulnerable and kind of exhilarated all at once. And that's hard to manage, but the more people that do it, the easier it becomes. You're on the air, and I'm glad. Hi.
Hi, Veronica. Deb.
There you are. She came out of an eclipse, you guys.
Yeah.
Did
you get a chance to read the moon notes I sent out this afternoon?
I did not.
Okay.
I haven't been on
that's
the computer
that's okay.
once. Read them.
What?
Can you read them?
I can't because I'm actually up in a wilderness area right now. I'm kind of far from my computer, but I was listening to the caller you just had for quite a while, and it sounds like, in terms of what she was talking about, you talking about, that you've pretty much just nailed it. This is the third eclipse in a month, and it's in the sign of Cancer, a new moon. So it's all about understanding the heart, what the heart wants and what it longs for, and I think it has an awful lot to do with how we've been nourished and maybe taking a look at anything that we've had eclipsed within us that we haven't wanted to look at emotionally, in terms of how we were mentored in terms of being nourishing ourselves, and the way we nourish other people, and because a new moon is always a beginning. Once again, we start out with understanding the human heart and what it needs. But this is another eclipse, the third one. So the eclipse is always revealed to us some part of our shadow, and this shadow component will have to do with the mother. And one of the things I wrote in the column was that when you're a parent, as you know, you learn how to stop nurturing out of fear of loss, which is sort of our first response as a parent. What will be lost if I don't nurture and nurture and nurture here? And I think one of the things this moon is teaching us is to stop nurturing out of our fear that we're going to lose something, and to begin to learn how to nurture in that way that a really healthy parent will, when you know that if you completely overdo it for your kids, then at some subconscious level, they don't think that you believe in their capacity to go on into the world, with mastery.
So we teach them fear.
It's almost as, does that make sense?
Yeah, we teach them insecurity and fear.
Yeah. And this moon is all about looking at our insecurities and our fears. And because it's eclipsed, I think it's coming up for people more powerfully than ever. And this moon is almost exactly opposing Pluto in the sky, in the night sky tonight, which is a little bit like Demeter opposing Pluto. I mean, it's almost like the myth has just come alive here, because she walked and walked and walked through the literal linear world looking for her beloved child. And she was afraid, and she was, all the things that are negative Cancer qualities. And the thing was that there was no way that she was ever going to find what she was looking for, ever.
Her child was Persephone, wasn't she?
Persephone, who was with Pluto in the underworld. But what she was looking for in a linear, material way. And what she had to do was what you must have said earlier, because your caller was talking about it, surrender to the unknown. And this moon is also beautifully trying to Neptune and Chiron. So there's a lot of healing in the release of these fears. And one of the things I wrote in the notes this time was that the most dangerous emotions are the ones that we've abandoned. We keep pushing them back because sometimes we're afraid to express them or get in touch with them. And other times we're afraid. I mean, sometimes we're afraid because of what we'll lose. And sometimes we're afraid because what will people think of us? Or what will happen to my life if I actually go to that point of whatever, despair or, yeah. But the other thing is that I think that this is like the mother of all moons when there's new in Cancer, because as we all know, the moon rules Cancer. So each year when the moon comes back to Cancer and renews itself, it's bringing us another level of emotional maturity if we're willing to take that on. And so anyway, I could go on and on and on, but I'm pretty sure we're running out of time. And
we are, but I'm really glad that you called in, because we'd had a certain exchange, and I really got that we were dealing with the shadow, the stuff that's hidden, and it had to come up. I know it has to. My own is coming up all the time right now. Is yours?
Say that again?
Is yours coming up to be dealt with right now?
Yeah, I had a whole situation around my daughter, which was mostly my projection. That was what was so fascinating about it. And instead of acting on it and saying anything to her, I kept asking myself, Deb, what is it exactly you're afraid of losing here? And then I said, I'm afraid of losing Catherine. And then another part of me said, that's not going to happen. So what are you really afraid of here? And I just had to keep going to the layers and crying and weeping over things that are probably ancient, and finally got around to the point of having a conversation with her, which was just absolutely beautiful and loving, and I realized that I was manufacturing out of my own fear a whole lot of stuff that she wasn't thinking or feeling anyway. It was my baggage.
Wow, that was good, though, that you could work it out with her. Is that not as thorough as can
be? Well, but I didn't work it out with her. I worked it out with me. That's my point. Mm. I worked it out with myself before I ever approached her, and I think that's the key to this moon, is if it's eclipsed in us. It's not necessarily, there's a lot of projection going on right now in terms of people needing to be nurtured in a particular way and not realizing that we can't expect anything back from the world until we learn how to give it to ourselves.
Well, that's excellent.
No way, you know.
That's excellent. That's a great way to end, and I have to end, unfortunately.
Thank you so much, Veronica, for your wonderful show and for you.
And thank you for you. So have a wonderful time there in Missoula. Good night, Deb.
I will.
Love you. Bye.
Bye-bye,
honey. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, if you've got feedback on this show, Radiance by Design, or if you have suggestions for guests or feedback on Paradigm Shifters, which is on at 8 o'clock Tuesday night on BBS Radio, or if you'd just like a session with me, write me, Veronica, at veronicaentwistle.com. If you'd like to be in touch with Deb for an astrological reading, discussion, art, lesson, whatever it is you'd like, deb@lovedogdesign.com. And I really enjoyed tonight's show and let's take a deep breath and breathe love out to all of us in the Radiance by Design community, because community is the way I think the evolution is going to carry the mothering force across the planet. And stay tuned for Jackie Salvitti, ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness at the top of the hour. Good night. Many blessings. Thank you for listening, and much love.